Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is February 17th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which you can do by subscribing to whatever podcast application you happen to use. Or by going to motivitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives of them. A couple things. The next two Thursdays, Jen will be running these calls. So if you're looking for me, you won't be able to find me because I'm going to be hidden away, gone. So Jen will be running these. So please be kind to her, participate, show up and help her out with any topics. And, she's done these before, so she's very quite capable. And I know that there'll probably be more people on the call than usual because what? We don't have to listen to Kelly for a half hour? Yay. And then just to log on just for that. So anyway, I'll be gone the next couple of weeks. So with that, I'm going to start to call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country? Or anything that we can help you with? Any questions, anything you've run into that you could use some help on? Anybody have anything? Jen?
Sure. I said the only thing I have, I do have a client who is looking to switch over from DMS to ServiceTitan. I just posted this on Water Treatment Pros also. But if there's anybody that could take a few minutes to talk with the office manager, she just wants to hear pros and cons. And she's like, yeah, I can read the reviews. But I want to talk to somebody that's actually used it for a little while and any hints that they can give her. So if there is somebody, if you can shoot me a text message, email, carrier pigeon, whatever, just get a hold of me and I'll put you in touch with her.
Yeah, cool. This is a great forum, you know, for, I love having discussions and looking for people. It doesn't have to necessarily be, in fact, it's usually not the same, same product or manufacturer. And we don't really talk about those specifics here, but we all are running into the same problems and scheduling and routing and which CRM we're using and those types of things. I think those are all things that are very valuable to discuss, you know. So anybody else have anything before we jump into our topic then? So we had the Super Bowl this weekend. I don't know how many of you guys, how many did not watch the Super Bowl or didn't care about the Super Bowl this year? I'm just curious.
I didn't watch.
You didn't. Well, I figured there'd be a couple of people because it's like it's so funny because you know it's such the big game and sometimes it's barely on people's radar, but they're like, oh, there's some game or something going on this weekend, you know. And like, do you watch the game? What game? Super Bowl. Oh, I don't watch basketball. What? What is wrong with you? You know, that's almost the way it is sometimes when you talk to people because some people are like super excited about the Super Bowl. I was actually slightly interested this year because the quarterback for the LA Rams, Matthew Stafford, has been for the last 10 years or so for the quarterback for the Detroit Lions. And the Lions have consistently been kind of one of the worst teams in the NFL, just always – you know, just not doing well every season after season after season. And yet when you talk to people that really follow these things, which I don't really follow them at this level at all, but when you talk to them, everybody would say Matthew Stafford is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And when you're looking at that and you're going, okay, then why do they have such a losing record? You know, and they say, yeah, but look at his statistics. He's got the best passing yards. You know, he's got he ranks in the top three or the top five at least in just about every category that would matter for a quarterback. And he stands toe-to-toe with the big names, the people who do have the rings, like, you know, like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning and, you know, the people that we – that we hear about, all the, even if you don't follow football, the people that you know about, that you at least know the names of them. And so at the beginning of last year, the Rams, the LA Rams, made a trade and took in Matthew Stafford. And it took them a couple games to get started. I mean, they started off pretty rough at the beginning of the season. But when they found their groove and the team figured out how to work with him and he with the team, they went all the way. And Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams ended up winning the Super Bowl this year. And it made me, on the heels of that on Sunday, because everybody, it's funny, with Matthew Stafford, everything was always about stats. And Jen, you're from Michigan as well. Isn't it kind of funny how when people talk about Matthew Stafford, they would always, you know, they'd always say, well, it's a shame because his statistically, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, that's kind of the go-to thing that people, they always talked about Matthew Stafford's statistics, right? I mean, you couldn't really talk about his wins. That's the one statistic that he didn't have. But most of his other statistics were off the charts, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've always been a huge Stafford fan. So,
yeah, and you know, the thing is, he played with grace, and he in the community was graceful as well. You know, by all accounts. I mean, obviously, I don't know the guy personally, but you see and hear things that they're doing in the community and stuff like that, and so you sort of want to root for him, you know, because he's not one of those guys that's out there saying, "Hey, look at me, look how good I am, look how good I am." He let the numbers sort of show it, you know, and it was the love of the game kind of that did it. But once you put him in a situation where the numbers were able to provide, because look, it doesn't matter. You can be the best and the best of the best, but it does take a team. And if you don't have a solid team or a solid leader around you, statistics will help. But they're not going to be the end all, right? You have to. It is a team effort. It's a team sport. So how does that relate to what we do in this industry? I talked about this with a few of our MV pros on a little call earlier in the week, and I've been giving a lot of thought about it, and wanted to kind of have a discussion with you guys on the one thing that I can say is. Probably pretty common with just about every professional sports player out there is I bet you they know what their stats are. I bet you they know how many career touchdowns they've had, how many, even the negative ones. I bet you they know what their interceptions are. I bet you they know every last stat of their own. And probably they know the stats of their teammates and of their competitors for sure. And so I was, you know, I always talk about emulating what other professionals do, right? You know, acting as if you are a professional and, you know, doing what other professionals do. And we've in the past talked about, you know, the hours worked and the education, the amount of continued education, you know, the amount of effort you put it into becoming knowledgeable and becoming an expert in your field. You know, the other things that professionals do, you know, the practice and really, you know, emulating those other characteristics. One of those characteristics, I think, are statistics. You know, when you look at sports teams, I think every player knows their stats. Would you guys agree with that?
Definitely. And so, not only do they know their stats, everybody knows their stats.
Yeah. Yeah. It's public. That's right. I mean, it's very public. And it's something I think they're constantly striving to improve. You know, they don't look at it and just say, I'm going to be the best player this year. they look at it and say, I'm going to break my touchdown record or this year, or my yard record this year. I'm going to hit 5,000 yards this year, you know, in passing yards and, you know, or rushing yards or whatever player you are. So here's my question to you guys. What stats do you personally track? I know that some of your companies are tracking your stats, your statistics, and I get that. There's certain metrics that they need to know. They need to know, you know, closing ratio is a big one for a company to track, because I don't know if you guys understand cost per sale or cost per lead, but if it costs a company $200 to get you into a house and you're closing 50% of the leads that they give you, suddenly, before they've ever made any other profit, that sale cost $400 to that company. Okay, that's a cost per sale. So if the company is giving you, let's say you have a product, a softener that costs $2,000, and they give you a lead, and you close 50%. That means you close one out of every two leads they give you. Okay, it still costs $200. For each of those leads, but you only closed one. So that means your cost per sale is $200. Your cost per lead, or your cost per sale is $400. Your cost per lead was $200. Okay, so it's important for a company, you know, to want to track things like that. It's expensive, you know, how they need to know, they need to calculate that in terms of pricing, you know, and how to price stuff, and they need to calculate it in terms of you know, making of their margins and what they're going to put into marketing and stuff like that. So there's stuff that the company's going to track, but I'm not necessarily talking about what they are tracking, because it may be the same, but the reasons might be slightly different. So I'm curious to know what you guys as professionals, what you as the people in the field, some of you, what statistics are you paying attention to on your own?
Monthly appointments, presentations versus how many sales you generate.
Okay, so explain that to me. Let's talk, because sometimes terminology is a little different. So monthly appointments. So you're tracking how many appointments you run?
Yes.
Okay, do you have a goal in mind? So at the beginning of the month, do you have a goal in mind for how many appointments you run in a month?
Yeah, as many as I can.
right. But what would be a good month? What would be a successful amount?
Well, I've only been doing it. I've only been in the field selling for 8 months. So,
okay.
Yeah, I've been running anywhere from 33% to this month through 3 weeks. I've had 23 appointments and 14 sales. So
all right, so that's your closing ratio. So that's you're tracking your closing ratio.
Exactly.
Good.
From January. What's that? Several of those are probably two of those 14 accounts I closed this month. Probably a couple of them are holdovers from January as well.
Always. They should roll over. That's always the way that works, right? So usually when I looked at my closing ratio, my most immediate closing ratio, I looked at the last 3 months average, because you're right. Mm-hmm. There's some that close, you know, that take a little while to close. Although that's another statistic that I think some people really look at that I find is kind of interesting, is the time, you know, how are you tracking how many days from the time you ran the appointment to when it closed? You know, you know, what is the timeline? You know, if you have if it's 2 weeks out on average, that's, you know, are you following up appropriately? Are you, you know, does that impact your closing ratio, stuff like that? So good. So you're tracking the leads. Now, do you track the difference between house leads and creatives? I think I heard you say how many leads you brought in on your own. Are you tracking your own, you know, the amount you bring in versus the amount the company's giving you?
Not at this point. Yeah, I'm working on trying to improve self-generated leads as well.
Yeah. Good. Excellent. And do you, how do you track it? How do you keep track of it? Are you using a CRM? Are you using just paper? How are you keeping track of it?
Yeah, I'm an old guy. I'm 67.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not using the technology. I look at my calendar, my appointments, and then I keep a written record of those accounts that I've closed in the month and what their dollar sale was.
See, I think sometimes that is the fastest, most reliable way of keeping track of your own stats. I had a file box or file cabinet, and I always, so every year at the end of the year, I emptied out my file cabinet. So I had a current year file cabinet, and I took it out and I bought one of those file boxes, and I put last year's files in a new box. So I had them all stacked up and all my sales. But it was interesting because I could accurately at any given time for the year determine what my closing ratio was because I made hard files like paper, manila folders for every customer I had. And I made copies of everything and I filed it and put it in there. And in the front, alphabetized by first letter of last name, I had them in the front and those were all my customers sold. And then in the back, and I had a piece of red construction paper that was taped to a folder that stuck out so I knew where it started. So it was easy to find. Again, alphabetized by first letter of last name, I put my customers not sold. And it's always interesting. I've got video of this because I've described on to kind of keep track of this, I think on our YouTube channel or up on the website. And one of the seminars.
Or if anybody wants to see it, we have those boxes still sitting in the office.
They are still sitting in the office. That's true.
You won't let me shred them.
We could get rid of them at some point, but I just want to make sure because at least keeping one to be able to show people how this is done. But the thing is, what I could do, if I looked and usually at the end of the year, I would have, I don't know, an inch or two, hopefully of, customers not sold. And then the rest of the box would be all customers sold for that year. But I could count the number of folders there in the front and then the number of folders in the back and very, very, very easily calculate my closing ratio for the current year, and see what that was. And that's kind of old school. Nowadays, obviously you can do that with CRMs, with computer programs, with everything else, but the old school method is probably the fastest and the easiest and frankly the most reliable if you've kept track of your calendar and you have when those appointments are. So excellent. What else are you guys tracking? Maria, are you on? So
hi,
one of our MVP. Yeah, I love what you said you track, and you track it pretty regularly. One of the things that you were telling me that you track on a monthly basis, which is kind of interesting. What do you track? What's the number that you mostly are very, very super aware of?
How much I sold for the month, cash flow.
Yeah, so revenue, monthly revenue. So where Maria works, they have a monthly bonus based on revenue. So based on the amount of revenue that is sold and installed. And so I can tell you at any given month or day, I can ask Maria where she is on her revenue. And she doesn't even have to look it up usually. I mean, she's going to be within $500 of that number without having to look it up. Although I can tell you, she knows exactly how to look it up to get the specific number to the penny because she pays attention. Maria consistently hits that bonus and there are different tiers and levels of bonus. So she watches that very closely. And it knows when she has to step it up, in order to do that. It does that drive you, Maria? I know you're one of those people that just do your job, and as it comes, you're not letting that say, oh, I'm going to work harder today. You work harder every day. But does it drive you, motivate you to really go that extra step when you know you're close to hitting the goal?
I have my personal goal of how much I want to make per month, and I haven't hit it yet.
I'm working on it, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so revenue is another one, you know, how much revenue you could bring in. What are some other stats that you guys look at and how are you going about tracking them? Anybody else have one? Have something? So I think that it's somebody else have something? I thought somebody was going to say something.
Hi, Kelly. It's Whitney.
Hey, Whitney. How are you?
Hi. Good. Thank you.
So you guys are getting the hammer with that snow down there, right? I heard you talking. You're going to get like a foot of snow there?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Yeah.
I Texas, you just have to wait. You wait to see.
No. You never know in Texas. I know. I'm just kidding. So go ahead.
Just wait a few days. You'll probably like the weather. But I just wanted to chime in and say that this year, like my team, we collectively brainstormed together at the beginning of the year, and we created a dollar amount versus sales, number of sales, just because obviously you could sell a dual, you know, a softener and an RO, or you could sell an RO, or you could just sell a softener. And really, like, you can meet that number goal, but really we felt that the dollar amount, we were like, okay, let's try and everyone reach $65,000 a month on revenue,
yeah.
You know, subtotal, all that. And we've gotten really close. With some of our reps getting really close to that. So that helped us then configure how many sales, if there were dual or if they were single sales, how many more, you know, how many sales you would need in order to get close to that revenue amount.
Yeah.
So that was collectively us coming together and thinking this should be doable.
Yeah. So let me summarize all this before it gets too late. So first off, if we're going to emulate what other professionals do, we need to look at what they do. And one of the biggest things that other professionals do, people that are successful, that are, you know, whether it be in pro sports or firefighters or police officers or anybody, they all have statistics that they track and know and follow. If they're really the best at what they do, if they are the professionals, they know what they're doing. Okay. They know what their stats are. And so, we have companies that we work with that will help guide us and give us those things. But I would encourage you, if you really want to be a professional, to take a look at your own statistics. And look, you don't have to track them all, okay? You can track the amount of revenue you bring in a month. You can track your own closing ratio. You can track your creative sales versus your, versus your house leads. That's kind of a fun one. You know, just for me, it was always a pride thing. I loved that because I'm a little bit independent and as long as I was bringing in way more business than the company was giving me, I knew that I had job security. You know, it didn't matter. I knew that they, it would be harder for them to let me go if they were making a decision between me and somebody else, because I generated the vast majority of my own business. And so that one, you know, is one that I tracked. You can track hours. That's, believe it or not, a hard one for us to do, is to track the amount of hours we actually work. You'd be surprised when you start tracking the amount of hours you work that, you know, because there are days that you feel exhausted because you've done it feels like you've done a ton of stuff. But then when you look at it, look at the actual hours you work, sometimes it's only 3 or 4 hours that day that you work. Sometimes it's 16 hours. So, but you start tracking that. And if you consistently, you're wondering why you're not making the income you want to make, and you look at it and you're consistently working 25, 26 hours a week, well, you can't expect really to make a full-time above average income if you're only working a part-time job. You know, that's just, and that's something that you can kind of track on your own. You can track what your average dollar amount is. One of the big ones that I tracked, because I always, to me, it just seemed to make sense, was and Whitney, I think you kind of alluded to it, the system sales percentages. You know, so let's say you have a closing ratio of you know, 70%. That's awesome. That, yay, nicely done. That's really good. 70% closing ratio for our industry is pretty good. But if you're only, you know, if 15% of those are buying reverse osmosis systems, and, you know, so you're closing 70% or even 75 or 80%, but they're only buying one unit, right, one softener, you're leaving all those drinking water systems on the table. That doesn't make any sense. So start improving on that statistic. Set goals to try and, you know, to try and improve that. Take a look, especially if there are people around you. If you're on a team and you have one person closing 60%, you know, 60%, and they've got a 50% system sales average, and you're closing 70%, but you've got a 15% system sale average, what that tells me, that tells me that it can be done. It's possible. You know, if somebody else on the team is doing it, it means that it's possible to do. And I would go to that person and say, I want to increase my system. And why wouldn't you want to increase your system sales percentages? It's the same amount of time, the same customer. The only difference is just more money for you. You're in the house already. It's the same customer, the same presentation, the same water test, the same everything, just an additional $1,000 or $1,500 in revenue and in commissionable pay. You know, I don't know why you wouldn't want to increase your system sales. Although, yet I hear salespeople all the time say, well, people around here just don't buy reverse osmosis systems. They just don't buy them. The TDS isn't that high. Okay, then why is there an entire aisle full of bottled water at every grocery store and convenience store in the area? And why is it that your teammates or your competitors are selling the heck out of reverse osmosis systems? So they must not be buying them only from you, right? That seems like a pattern. But anyway, you track your statistics, and when we talk about patterns, it also does begin to allows you to recognize areas that you need to improve on, that you can work on, that you can focus on, which overall then makes you better. And it helps you self-analyze and recognize when you're going down the road and maybe making a bad habit. You know, maybe you notice that your percentage of system sales has dropped. And you start to analyze that a little bit, and you look back and say, oh, I haven't made tea in the house in, you know, it's been 2 months since I made tea in the house. I bet if you look at when you stopped doing that one demonstration or that one thing in the home, that's probably when you started to notice a drop in your system sales percentages. You know, so look at your statistics. Let it be a warning sign for how to improve your presentation and what you're talking about and how you're going about things and creating that business. I think it's really important if you look, I mean, some of you, this is just a job for you. I realize that. I get it. You get on this call, maybe your manager told you you had to listen to this call. Maybe you were just curious and you got on, but it's just a job. You don't really care that much. It's just, it's money and you're going through. But for those of you that plan on doing this long term and want this to be a career, and you're feeling the passion that I think sometimes this industry can overwhelm you with because of what a difference you can make in people's lives, if you start to do that and you want to be the best at what you do, then I would encourage you to start really taking a look, not just at the statistics that the company is sending you emails and you know, hammering you on at the company meetings, but the statistics that make you better, that will help you self-evaluate. Take control of your own career. Know what you are doing and not doing and what you need to improve on. And suddenly you're going to excel. You're going to be the best of the best. And look, if you're doing all those things, you feel like you're doing them and you're not reaching the goals, the end goals that you want to reach, sometimes it may mean taking your skills and moving to another team. Okay, not that I'm encouraging anybody on this call to do that right now, but Matthew Stafford, he had the stats. He tracked it. He was good. And he had to move to another team that allowed him to grow and shine. And I am suggesting to you that try and do it where you are. But regardless, be a pro, be a professional. Okay. Take your life and your career into your own hands. Final thoughts or comments here. Anybody have any final thoughts? Okay, then with that, everybody, I will talk to you in 3 weeks. We will be having the call the next 2 weeks, led by somebody way better than me and who you all like better than me anyway. So, you know, that's what the statistics show anyway. So, okay. No, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that. But thank you, everybody. What's that?
But it is the truth, though.
Everybody be safe. We'll talk to you soon. All right.
Yeah, bye. Thank you.